Yesterday, towards the end of the show, for whatever reason, we were talking about the internet, Googling, and Googled the word Negro.
Yes.
And the very first thing that came up was Rent a Negro.
Right.
We were blown away by this. I thought it was some sort of, you know, racist website, but then we found out it was some sort of book.
It's a book, and of course we put... Well, all things black go through Rob Spiewak,
of course,
the black man's friend. We put Rob on this. Rob, what is your investigative team? What has your I team shown us on Rent a Negro?
I am the Liz Crenshaw of black things.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to a representative at Lawrence Hill Books. And it's actually a website that was created in 2003 by a lady named Damali Ayo. And the website came first, then the book. And
okay.
It is a satirical website.
Okay.
And it is really a way to put under a microscope the relationships between whites and blacks and the way blacks feel when they are used in a token setting.
Okay, so I guess you cleared that up for it. We were really, when we first got that
it
yesterday,
looked real.
I mean, it was amazing. We were looking at this and we're like, what the hell is going
Maybe
on
you
here?
Could go to Amazon to buy the book.
Yeah, and the thing at the website, if you just look at it in passing, and unless you go really deep into the website.
Book written by a white person or an African-American?
An African-American lady about 30 years old.
Okay.
Very pretty
right.
lady.
Right. You Rob. Spiewak.
There she is.
There she is now.
I hate your big, fat, bald head.
Right.
Ass.
Now, there is an application on the website where you can apply
right.
for an appearance.
But it's BS.
And they have the prices, which are $350 an hour. If you want to touch the rental's hair, $25 each time, or up to $100 if it's a corporate event. A drop-in appearance is $100.
Okay, so
that's reasonable.
But all satirical.
Yeah, and she actually says that maybe one day she will do an appearance, but she's not found one yet. That reaches her comfort level.
Oh,
all
gotcha.
Right. Well,
okay.
Then, screw that. That's too bad.
That is.
What is that too bad for?
Well, I thought
was it was... Were you hoping like we'd be interviewing somebody who is really doing that?
That's right. That's right. Exactly what I was hoping for, Mike. Exactly.
You know, it would have either gone that way, where somebody would be out there with that business, or it would be perhaps some Klansman that
because,
had that website.
Hey, listen. The more I thought about it last night, and even before the show today. Oh, yes. Thought about it a lot.
Right.
Called the patent office today, tried to figure out if there's a patent on it.
Right.
Seems to me, here's why I believed it. Seems to me that we live in a PC world now where it would not be out of the realm for, let's say, one of those snobs in New York to say, you know, gosh, we've got to go to this inner city dinner. It would really look good if we had some people of color.
Right. I was thinking about it, too, and I think in a roundabout way.
And why is it black folk would never want to rent a Caucasian?
You know what? I think.
Why is it you black folk would never need us, but we need to rent you?
I think in a roundabout way, what it is that you probably have people that, you know, don't go through a website or something, but they're, in a way that there are people that probably pursue that type of activity. For example, it's like, hey, we want a comfort zone. We're going to bring our, hey, you know that friend we have at work? We're going to bring this guy. I'm sure stuff like that.
Rent a cracker. yo. Hello there. I just moved into a new neighborhood. I need to have a white couple over.
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure that there are certain situations where you would we see people going to certain functions and saying, hey, it'd be nice if we brought this couple.
Well, let's be honest.
Right? Don't you think that goes on?
Haven't you
both directions?
Yes,
probably.
Without even paying for it. Haven't you ever been involved with a party where someone will sit down if you're having like a bunch of people over and say, you know, we really should mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And they mean mix it up by, you know, it shouldn't be all white.
Right.
You know, they say, you know, why don't we invite, you know, And Mike, for instance, in my neighborhood, very hard to find a black person.
Yes.
So, they
have to be imported.
What are you going
to
do?
Right.
What are you going to do?
Right.
You're going to rent a black person, rent a Negro?
Well, you'll have to read the book, you know, and see what it's all about.
There's another very funny website that links to a lot of this, and it's called blackpeoplelikeus.com. And it's about, I think their names are Johnny and Janet, and it's a fictional white couple that talks about how many black people like them.
Uh-huh.
And it's another pretty biting piece of satire. If you get a chance, it's funny.
Right. Okay. Anyway, thought it might have been real. It was not real.
Right.
Still one of those great ideas.
Yeah.
It's never an off switch here, folks.
File that away.
I may actually put that into business.
Yep.
You went into the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. My face, like in the middle of a little smiling, like, circle.
Right.
You know, just me going, hey, hi.
If you do that, you might need a hat. of some sort.
Any sort of hat.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what. Yeah, just some. Maybe a hat. Maybe not a hat would be appropriate.
Well, you're going.
Maybe a hood. Yeah, maybe a hood. That might be. That might be.
What for? Rent a Negro?
Yeah, I think. I think you might need.
What
a
if
hood.
I also had rent a Caucasian?
Mm.
What if I had rent an Asian?
Yeah, you know, maybe you can be the mogul of that.
Why can't
that
I be the UN of rent the people?
I say go for it.
You know, what do you need?
I say you're all talk.
What do you need? You need a Swede.
Rent a Swede.
Need a Swede.
Don Geronimo, you know, need a Swede.
Rent a Swede. Why is that funny? Why is what we've been talking about it? Why is rent a Swede and you just have like this picture of this blonde-haired guy?
Need a Dago? Hey, you need to, yeah. Are you having a party? Do you need some Guidos? Do you need some?
Well, you know, really, if you really want to liven up the party.
Some Italian guys? You know, some swarthy Italian guys?
You want to do my people. If you really want to liven up the party. Seriously, rent a mic.
Now listen, moments ago, here you are mocking me saying I should wear a cowl. Now you're my business partner.
A cowl? I said a hood. Pick a mic. Right.
But now you're my business partner.
I'd be willing to help you with this. You know, I like me the little ideas. The little ideas can become big, big businesses.
That's right.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Oh, my God.
The thing is, I really know, now I couldn't name names. I know people who are shallow enough, who have business meetings, social meetings, just get-togethers, where they actually would say
they'd be willing.
Maybe they would rent, but would really say, you know, we gotta get some other people over here.
Sure, I mean, in business situations, to make themselves appear to be more diverse than they really are.
It's
evil, but it is, but it's definitely plausible.
I'll bet they'd pay.
That's right.
You know, the funniest thing I've ever done.
Buzz?
I think $100 to start, just for a quick appearance, like Rob mentioned to the website. That's fair. That's a fair start.
And then
up from there.
Mr. Social, right? I was down with a buddy of mine. This is years ago. And the funniest thing ever done to me at a golf course was this guy, this friend of mine that I knew down there. And I brought a friend down, and he'd never been down there before. And this guy comes up, one of these guys that worked at the golf course, and he hands me this little piece of paper. He said, somebody handed me this for you, this note. And I was there with my friend showing him around, saying, hey, this is where we are, and really kind of showing the place off to him. And I open up the piece of paper, and they said, Mike, rent a friend called. Your friend has to be back by 5 o'clock, which is, of course, indicating that I don't have any friends.
Right.
And this was the first one that I rented. But, you know, he was and he was also – he was Indian.
Rented Indian.
Yes.
There you go.
TP like what? Like Dot?
TP or Dot?
Dot or TP.
A little combination of both.
Hello, hey. Dot and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey. Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing great, thanks.
I heard what you're saying when you type in that word on Google to find Negro, what would come up with it. I did something similar on eBay.
Oh, no.
And I found someone actually auctioning off butt kickings on eBay.
Auctioning off butt kickings? What, ass kickings?
And it started at $1, and what was so funny about it was there was actually bids on it.
Yeah, that eBay is hilarious.
Hey, what do I got to do to buy that for Rob?
Did with confidence.
To have somebody beat Rob's ass.
I don't get it.
I think what he's saying is you're bidding on someone going and beating the crap out of somebody.
Ass kickings for $1. Like anybody?
That's what I said. If
apparently.
It's a,
what is it, like a hitman?
You pay the dollar, this guy will kick some ass.
Well, this guy's on the phone. Is he still on the phone?
Yeah, he's here.
What kind of, I mean, like you'd really do it? I mean, was it something you could actually pay somebody to kick somebody's ass?
Yeah, he even had this little statement on there that would say, you're not going to fight back, you're not going to call the police on me, you have to pay for my...
What is it, Rob?
You can only bid to have yourself beat up.
Right.
Oh.
See, it's really not a very good product.
Oh, get out of here then. Come on, you're totally misrepresented, for goodness sakes.
Good luck and happy bidding.
So it's a guy who's put himself up on eBay saying you can beat the crap out of me.
No, do the other way around. He's offering to beat the crap out of you. If you want yourself beat up for some reason, if you feel you deserve it,
well, then,
or you need
then
an
apply
an
to
alibi,
be the producer here.
Exactly.
if you want to get beat up on, try to be the producer of this half-baked
that would be
show.
That would be whippingboy.com.
You don't have to pay.
And you don't even need a PayPal account to do that.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi. I was calling because the Angry City thing cracked me up. Spokane and Bakersfield were back-to-back. They just, our minor league arena teams played each other. Bakersfield lost and trashed our locker room. to the point that we're going to have to sue them.
They're the happy sounds.
What a fun-loving group of people we are.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Wow. You know, because you do, on that list of 100, I'm sure there are a lot of small towns, too.
Yes. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, live on the air, on screen call.
Right. How many times have we got to say that? Yes, sir. What's
up? That's
a
good way to stay on the air, too, when you point that out right at the beginning.
Yeah, what's up?
I apologize. Have you talked about the new host of Fox NFL Sunday?
You know, if you've got it, I didn't know. I didn't know that they had announced a new host, really.
Last night on the Best Damn Sports Show, period, they announced Joe Buck. And they'll be doing the show live from every game that Joe Buck announces.
So they're going to move those guys out of the studio?
He's going to be sleepy.
Yep.
Oh, that's too bad. Joe Buck's a smart choice, though, I think, for that Fox show.
Yeah, Joe Buck can handle anything.
But you put all those doofuses and big folding chairs outside. Who knows? Oh, and last night, as much as I want to say that I think Tony Kornheiser's fantastic.
Yeah. Paul Farhi in the Post wrote a kind of a nasty little review of Tony today.
See, I think that what that is, that's newspaper jealousy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
On the front page of the Washington Post today, like it's like the young eating their own. It's like it's one print guy who can't get his face on TV, so he writes awful stuff about Tony Kornheiser. Tony Kornheiser last night on Monday Night Football, IMHO, was stiff and wooden, but it was his first time.
Nerves.
It was his first time.
Yeah.
And a lot of things he would say that had the chance to be funny, he would say as they were going to commercial. Like, no one would tell him, hey, we got to go to spots now. And it is hard to get a word in edgewise. I mean, I feel for him because I'm like Theismann. I mean, look at you right now. I can tell when you're paying attention, but you're also looking at your shoes or looking at something else.
You think I'm not paying attention right now?
I know you're paying attention, but it's hard to get a word in edgewise.
With you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not true.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it might have been true 20 years ago.
Multiply it times 1,000 for Tony Kornheiser last night.
Joe Theismann does go on. We've joked about that. Joe knows he goes on.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch it. I just read the review, which really I felt bad after I read the review.
Too. I give him a B. I thought he was okay. The one thing I noticed is that he's definitely had his teeth whitened. And Joe Theismann. Now, Mike, see, now you're goofing. Joe Theismann, here is where the plastic surgery has been done. I alluded to this yesterday.
You got it. I looked at Joe last night. I looked at Joe at the beginning.
Did you freeze frame it?
No, I didn't freeze frame it.
You should have stopped your TiVo.
My girlfriend agrees with you.
Because you would have noticed that the area is the eyes. Mm. The area
That's what she said. She said it looked like he had maybe had a little eye thing. I think it looked like the same old Joe.
No.
The only thing I would notice is Joe is, we were talking about this yesterday. Joe is how many years older than we are now?
Oh, he's like 10 years older than us.
You know, in the miraculous way of Buzz Burbank, he doesn't seem to have any gray hair.
Oh, but I think it's eyes and maybe chin. Maybe a little chin as well.
You think he had the chin lift?
Looks to me like he's had a lot of stuff pulled back, like a Joan Rivers thing.
You know, this is, of all the things we ever talked about with Joe Theismann, this is one where we say he'd call in. This is one, like, if he was in the neighborhood where he'd drop by the studio.
And really he'd want to beat us up. Or beat me up. And I'm not saying this to get a rise out of him.
I disagree. I don't think he looks like he's had any plastic surgery whatsoever.
I just think he was surprised for the whole night.
You know who I think's had a lot of work done is Tony Kornheiser.
Well, there's no doubt. Listen, hold on. There's no doubt he had his teeth fixed.
He had his teeth fixed. No, he looks like gravity is pulling at his chin.
If you've ever watched PTI.
And I love Tony. I think Tony's going to be great.
Before he went on Monday Night Football, he had like Dennis Murphy dog teeth on the bottom. You know, they were going 8,000 different ways. And I noticed last night that he's got the Regis teeth now.
Wow. The only thing I noticed about Tony last night when they were doing the opening segment is that look at the eyes. He got the luggage under the eyes last night, and why was it the thing I have to agree with Paul Farhi is, why did we all get close-ups? We got a close-up of Tirico, we got a close-up of Theismann, we didn't go to the close-up of Tony
Kornheiser. You
Kornheiser. Know why? Why? Because he's going to look like a train wreck.
Look at him, because it's like an advertisement for skin cancer.
But you know what's fun? Do the close-up.
It's like walking melanoma.
What are they trying to prove? Howard Cosell, for Christ's sake. That's what they ought to do.
No, we didn't have an HD back then,
right,
Mike.
Right.
We watched an RD, regular definition.
But you know what? Howard Cosell was like looking at a train wreck, too. And I really, that's who Tony gets compared to a lot. And I think
think he really could be that way. And the key is if he gets comfortable, don't you think, and he's himself, and that curmudgeon-y guy will come through. And
he's got to do is just start calling Theismann on being Theismann.
Well, and also, you know, maybe he gets overwhelmed with it, but I think once he settles down, he'll be fine. Because the fact is, Tony Kornheiser is a brilliantly funny guy, and that will come to the surface.
And what I was hoping for, and I bet it does happen at some point this year, Joe's answer to everything, and I can't yell at him about this because
you watched the whole game, right?
Yeah, because I give the same answer a lot of times to people when they give me a hard time about the show. Joe's answer to anything, anybody disagrees with him, is I played the game.
Right.
It's not that whole I want a Super Bowl thing. It's just, and a couple of times last night, he's got ways of throwing it in, which is like, Tony, that's a valid point. You're 100% wrong because I remember a game when I was playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. Right. Of course, you were a stupid sportscaster up in, sports writer writing about it, watching me play the game. Of course, he doesn't call him stupid, but he's got a way of working that in. And now,
maybe I'm out of line here, but just a suggestion to Tony. What if he just says, hey, listen, thieves, man.
Maybe
that would make him mad.
And I'm just waiting for Tony Kornheiser last night to come back.
It's right. Like, you know what I don't know?
He was being sucker punched by Theismann.
Joe would never answer this. I mean, I'd love to know what their relationship has been in the past. Obviously, Tony Kornheiser has been in this market as long as we have been in this market, and Joe Theismann has been in this market, and I would love to know where they stand, because Joe is a very opinionated guy. He has strong opinions about everybody.
I believe Tony Kornheiser likes him because he's always a quote.
Right.
For a newspaper guy, how could you not like Joe Theismann, even if he is Joe Theismann?
But hear me out here. Don't you think that during Tony's time, at least writing for the newspaper, the local newspaper here in Washington, D.C., with Joe being Joe, there had to be opportunities where Tony, maybe in a column,
has
taken a little shot at old Joe Theismann.
You'd have to go way back in the day, because remember that Theismann, as he will tell you all the time, did win the Super Bowl. They had a great year. And then Lawrence Taylor broke his leg.
Right.
So it's like Theismann never got the chance to go back. I don't think Kornheiser ever had the chance to write the stuff about him that he wrote about. Those other guys like, they're getting too old now, and these guys suck now.
Yeah, you might be right. And those guys come from the era of the Washington Redskins where they were all deified in this town. I mean, they were gods.
And last night, Mike Tirico, bless his heart, absolutely was on crack. Absolutely. It was. Mike Tirico's a laid-back guy who normally does, like, golf and stuff like that.
Right.
They're like, ESPN welcomes you to the 30th year of Monday Night Football. We are so excited to have this here on ESPN. I'm here, Joe Theismann, and I'm with Tony Kornheiser, and we've got Michelle, and we've got Susie, and we've got cameras, and we've got guys outside. And I'm Mike Tirico on ESPN Monday Night Football.
Well, it's their preseason, too.
Very excited.
Slow down.
The reviews were so good behind the scenes. They said these guys were killing them, so we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, give them time.
I don't know why you guys are being so hard on Tony Kornheiser. I watched the game last night. I found it to be fantastic. Well, I can sum it up in one word: jealousy. It's jealousy. That's why these guys are popping off at the mouth.
Did you notice with these guys that if someone writes something on a website, they're so petty, they get on the air and read it, yet they spend 20 minutes reaming Tony Kornheiser's
two words, Peter.
Two words. Small timers. That's what we're dealing with here, small timers.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, baby.
Tell you what, they're no Tom Gager.
No, not a chance.
They're no Johnny Holiday.
Now, Johnny Holiday, there's radio royalty.
They're no Johnny Dark.
Johnny Dark, my man.
They're no Captain Whammy.
And really, if we want to, freshen it up a bit, they're no Jim London.
Oh, that's freshening it up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They're no Lou Katz.
And they're no Jack Diamond.
Touche.
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 There, it's off. Okay. It's turned off. It's all off now.
Are you happy now?
Yeah. There you go. It's all turned off now.
Okay.
Go.
Write about it all you want.
Got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We had him on yesterday. The phones were all effed up. Here he is again now, Patton Oswalt. Patton.
Hi, Patton.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay, now he's...
You're a kidder. You're a kidder.
Crying.
He's funny. sorry about that yesterday. We are in a brand new studio, and what they did last, I guess before yesterday's show,
right.
They turned off, they powered down the entire building.
Uh-huh.
And when they powered it back up, they just didn't bother to figure out what worked and what did not work. So our apologies.
Not an excuse. Huh?
You're right. You know what? You are right.
All right. Well,
God damn it, you're right. There is absolutely no excuse. That is not acceptable.
Pat, let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you had someone in your life who you considered to be your best friend,
right.
and let's say that person was your manager.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Are you going down this road?
I thought that's where you were going.
No, I really wasn't directing it to him. I really was just kind of...
Rob?
You know what I was doing? I was doing what I do every day, just opening my mouth, whatever comes out.
Well, the truth is that, you know, that
I didn't, because I throw Rob under the bus. I want him to know I'll do it and let him know.
He'll tell you he should have come in and tell them. You should have come in and...
I should have checked the phones.
Should have checked everything.
Yes.
Right. So, Patton.
Yes,
hi, Patton.
Sure.
Patton.
Patton, would you like to fire Rob?
I don't want to. Thanksgiving, stop fighting.
Have you ever sucked
the jelly out of a jelly donut and then filled it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Get the honey.
I didn't know you knew that.
One of the greatest scenes. Uh-oh. One of the most underrated comedy scenes. That scene is so genius.
Fatso.
God.
God, we said that like DJs, didn't we? Fatso.
You know, I don't know whether you can even find it in a video store. I have no idea.
Yeah, why isn't that on DVD? That movie was so well written.
It was, and Dom DeLuise could really cry.
Oh, man.
So, let me see. Patton, hold on, because we didn't get your plug in. First of all, you don't need to sell tickets for this thing tomorrow night, right?
No, I just was told it's totally sold out.
Totally sold out tomorrow
Congratulations.
Night.
Congratulations.
Very good. If you've never seen Patton, I like to call him the white Bill Cosby. And here's why.
Okay, I'd like to hear this explanation.
His material...
Yeah, I'd like to hear it as well.
His material is totally family-friendly. Mm-hmm. And if you could take Cliff Huxtable and move him about 20 years in the future, and instead of him being black, he's white...
Yeah, it's not the, you know, Cosby from the 60s during what I like to call his blue period.
All right.
You know, it's really something where you could, you know, I know he's going to be in a theater, but it really belongs in an amphitheater, and you put out the blanket.
At the end of the night, after he tells his stories and his jokes, and he brings his son Theo out on stage.
Right.
Oh, good Lord.
It's a wonderful show. It's a really wonderful nice. Show. And
no, you're a stand-up act, and this is really a compliment. It's retarded. It's fantastically retarded because you speak about... So many things that people do not speak about.
How many instruments are you playing during your stand-up show?
How many instruments?
How many instruments do you? Are you still playing the fiddle and the trumpet?
His one-man band.
I broke my ankle in a skateboarding thing. I was showing off, and so I can't do the trumpet anymore. But I still have the fiddle going.
Oh, you know, I know you're playing in pain. God love you for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Patton, sorry to hear it didn't work out. When did you get eliminated from America's Got Talent?
I was eliminated when they included a talent portion into it. That's when they eliminated.
No, I'm busting your balls. I'm kidding. We have the. Have you? That is the worst train wreck of a gong show. Do you watch that at all? Have you ever seen that show?
Well, the title, America's Got Talent, I don't need to watch it because here's the thing. America doesn't have talent. That's why there's not a lot of performers and celebrities. That's why there's 250 million people and there's like 10,000 of us are actually in the entertainment field. People don't have talent. They need to pay to go watch talented people do things.
Would it be as much fun if more people had talent, though? I don't think so.
No!
No, we wouldn't have as much fun. We wouldn't put these people up on pedestals and all that.
It's like going, everybody's got vaginas. Okay, well, then that's not fun anymore. Like, some people have to not have them, and then it's fun.
Right. Hey, Patton, kind of a non-sequitur here, but it's what a good interviewer does.
All right.
How about that Mel Gibson? What is the story with that cat,
I'm glad you read the notes from the free interview. Pressure, Patton.
I wish you guys would... Honestly, I don't know him personally, but you really should lay off because he's said he's tried to quit drinking 6 million times, and it's clear that what he needs is a final solution, and he said he's going to check himself into like a rehab center or maybe a camp where he can just concentrate on wiping this scour just vermin from his life. But he works with a lot of Jews, and he says working with them has been a gas. So I don't see why people are so... He was just drunk. He was a little drunk.
Oh!
Sweet. That's the kind of family-friendly comedy you can look forward to
at
the States.
Isn't that like turning on Nick at Night?
Mm-hmm. Bring it, yeah, bring out the folks.
Just like it. God
now, seriously, I know you're close to your mom and dad when you're from this area. Will you have moms and pops at the show tomorrow night?
If they come, they've been warned. But, I mean, my mom and dad are coming, so
good.
There you go.
That's good. And
on other topics that have nothing to do with anything, did you like the Superman movie? I know that you like comic books. You like some comic books.
I liked the first two acts, and then the third act. It has like 11 endings. It doesn't know when to end.
Do you think it'd be worthwhile seeing that in IMAX? That's not a goof. That's just a nerd question.
Sure. It wouldn't be worth it. See, I don't like things in IMAX. It's too big. It's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I heard it's so cool that they put the little thing on the screen saying, put on your glasses now, and whenever he flies, it's 3D.
Oh,
really?
Yes,
and when my girlfriend and I went to the movies last weekend, we snuck in some booze, and that wasn't a 3D movie. So really, I was thinking, now this is not a lie. If we go to IMAX, we're going to bring some booze and watch Superman fly in 3D while we get drunk.
You have your hollow walking cane with the shot glass in the head.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful little...
Wear your monocle.
It's a great accessory. It really is. You know, we were out in Cancer Corner just before we came in here to talk to Pat, and I don't know whether he knows anything about it, but it just cracked me up. We were talking about something. I don't know whether you have an opinion on it or not. We were talking about Gumby. Did you watch Gumby when you were a kid?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, and I remember it being disturbing.
Yeah, that's what they were saying.
Something about it, it was kind of like he seemed to live in this weird post-apocalyptic Lovecraftian landscape of shapes, and, you know, the lighting was a little off.
Right.
And everything was, and just the fact that he existed, like if you saw Gumby in real life, you would just shoot it. You'd shoot it and run, you know? That's a frightening thing with a weird little face.
But let me stop you for a moment.
I go with a hunch and it pays off.
Let me just stop you for a moment, though. Were you a fan of Davy and Goliath?
Davy and Goliath 2 was also... I used to watch it a lot, but there was something creepy about it.
Right. Yeah.
Was it the claymation?
It was the claymation. It was the landscape. The landscape on Dave and Goliath, there's something creepy about it. Like, there are, like, death metal bands that try hard to recreate that landscape, and they fail. They try to make it that disturbing, and they just nailed it.
How sad that was when we were all kids, when you would go on a Sunday morning, friggin' nothing, like four channels, and all that's on is the God Squad. So the best you could do is this crappy claymation, which was Davy and Goliath.
Bible, the worst thing about Davy and Goliath.
Bible stories.
The bad kid on Davy and Goliath, the evil kid, when he would get really mad and he'd have that mouth. And they do the squiggly mouth. I don't remember what the kid's name was.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to really hit you.
Which of these?
His mouth would be really weird.
Everybody, which was the scariest when you were a kid? I just got all three of them. Gumby?
I know the third.
Davy and Goliath or Clutch Cargo?
Davy and Goliath.
Davy and Goliath.
Yeah.
I vote Clutch Cargo because of the mouths.
The mouths were funny on Clutch Cargo.
Yeah, but at least like Clutch Cargo, there was something kind of harmless about it because it didn't seem like... they could move around and get you. Whereas that talking dog, like, can you imagine that talking dog like coming out of the trees at you at dusk? And you know how eerie that would be, talking at you, and if you're not good, you'll burn in a pit of vomit and fire.
Davy,
if you steal that candy bar,
beware, kids.
What if the King of Queens is on what hiatus?
Thank you, Rob.
It's on hiatus.
Yeah.
And when it comes back, because it's like a Band-Aid show, right? When something doesn't work, they're going to throw it back on.
Yeah, they're going to apparently they're doing only 13 episodes, and they're going to start showing it in January.
I've got to buy a VHS machine. If these are the final 13 episodes, I am finally going to break down and buy a tape machine.
Good for you.
Tape machine.
Good for you.
A nice tape machine.
Did I tell you I had a guy in my... I know I've said this on the... I'm telling this to Patton. Some guy in my neighborhood actually called it Tyvo. said to me, said, I see the ads for this Tyvo. And I thought, I swear to God, I thought he was talking about Tybo. Yeah,
right.
You know, right. No, he's talking about, you know, that thing that records. TiVo.
You know, if you go out to eat all the food at the old country, my mom still calls it a buffet.
A buffet.
And antibiotics.
Is it foyer or foyer?
I call it foyer.
Yeah, foyer.
You step into the foyer.
I call it a foyer.
Wouldn't the French?
Foyer.
Isn't it obviously a French word. You've traveled the world. It's a French word, right?
Foyer.
Damn it, we're Americans.
Yes, we are.
Oh,
hold on. We've been talking about all this stuff with cartoons, and totally forgot to ask. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on Comedy Central, it's the William Shatner roast.
Sunday night.
I'm sorry, Sunday night. Sorry about that. Sunday night, 10 o'clock. Did you know William Shatner before you roasted him, or were you just one of the funny guys that they knew would bust balls?
Well, I met him for 2 seconds when we did Conan O'Brien together, and he was very pleasant, and he signed his CD for me. But, I mean, I was never, a Trekkie. I was more of, I was pulled in because of Star Wars and stuff like that. Trek was just a little bit before my time. But, I mean, I know of Shatner, for God's sakes. He's a weird, train wreck icon. How do you not... You know what I mean?
I would imagine there was a kind of a waiting list. I mean, to get on that roast. Tell me about how does the pecking order work with a roast? How are you?
Drew Carey's not on it, is he?
No, he's not on it. You know what? I think it's a combination of who can they get, and then also who can, because they've got to guarantee a solid show. So that's why they got to have people like Geraldo and Ross and Lampanelli to pick it up when you have there are some. Definite dead spot that I won't say, but you need those to kind of recover from the deadliness.
And does the roastee have any say at all? Does he have any kind of veto power when you're going to be doing a roast? Hey, I don't want that guy.
I don't think so. Although I heard that Shatner didn't want any of the. I think they had Nichelle Nichols and. George Takei, and he didn't want them sitting close to him. They're on the other dais, Whereas, then you have the Chevy Chase roast where he couldn't even get any of his friends to be on. So,
Well, I guess the rap on Chevy Chase is that he doesn't have a lot of friends in the industry, right?
No, he's apparently a pretty horrible human being.
So I'm guessing with William Shatner, you could go up and you could say something like, there's William Shatner with the most famous toupee in showbiz, huh? But you could not say, hey, there's William Shatner who's... How'd that drowning wife work out for you?
We were actually told to stay away from that, and apparently...
What a shame.
Artie Lang was making jokes about it leading up to it on the radio, and he wasn't happy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, that is a little, it's... That you can't roast someone and go, hey, how about that leukemia that your mom had?
I know. I was just wondering, where the line, where the line is.
The line was you can't go. We couldn't talk about the wife.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So they can give you some guy that they can give you guidelines.
Could you make fag jokes about him if you wanted?
Oh God, that's all people did. George Takei, that's all he talked about was fagging it out with William Shatner.
I loved you.
You know who was great? Awesome was Betty White. Was amazing.
Tell me, is she's amazing?
Yeah, we know.
They wrote a monologue for her, but unlike certain other people who they wrote monologues for, she looked at it. Gave him a couple of quick little notes that actually improved it, and then went, okay, I'm going to go off and memorize it.
Does she still do that acid tongue sweet delivery thing?
Oh, yeah.
I think that is absolutely hysterical.
Sweet Midwestern mom just saying awful, awful things.
Good. That you've sold it. I want to see it.
And it was so funny.
And we didn't get to ask you yesterday. Andy Dick, you mentioned he was on something. He was out of control. And this, for me, is a reason to watch. Yeah. I watch a Letterman show if Andy Dick is going to get 2 segments because he's nuts. What did he do specifically without giving it away?
Let's just say that he couldn't allow anyone to have a moment.
Oh, really?
I got to make sure that I'm in every single aspect of the show.
Oh, my God.
As I've said, please join me and the AIDS virus in finding a cure for Andy Dick.
And I guess it's Comedy Central, so we won't see any moments of self-exposure, will we?
No. That apparently that happened backstage. He apparently whipped it out in front of a Page Six writer, and as he was doing it, was like, "Don't write about that."
Join.
Don's right.
I want to steal that thing about the AIDS. Join me.
And the AIDS virus. Finding a cure.
Finding a cure for blank. I'm just going to use finding a cure for blank.
Oh, yeah, good. There you go.
For blank. Oh, okay, thank you.
Rourke for anyone.
I will credit you every time I use that. And if you steal from me, you're stealing twice.
So you're doing the State Theater. Are you doing that all for most of your summer? Are you on the road?
I'm doing the theater. They invited me back, and I had so much fun last time. Mm. I said, yeah. And then in September, I start a new Comedians of Comedy tour.
Oh, good.
Which we start in Nashville, and we'll be in Washington, D.C.
Hey.
On Tuesday, September 12th at the Black Cat.
Oh, very cool.
So I think we have the day off beforehand, so I'll try to drop in, or I'll call you guys.
Oh, beautiful. Cool. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Patton Oswalt, everybody, his website, which I go to all the time, it's great, plus it has fantastic porno. PattonOswalt.com. Tomorrow night at the State Theater, that's sold out, but please do also watch Patton Sunday night on the William Shatner Roast, Comedy Central at 10 o'clock.
Delightful.
Patton, you are you're a funny little man.
Good. And as far as your career goes, Patton, good for you.
Good for you.
Thank
good.
You.
That's our line of the week. Good for you.
You've had lots of success. You've been on a TV show, and your success, good for you.
Patton, can I ask one personal question? What kind of car are you driving around out in Los Angeles right now?
I drive a 1999 Nissan Maxima. I believe in driving a car into the ground. I don't like to buy new cars every year. It's bad for the environment.
Good for you.
Patronizing.
Thanks, Patton.
Good for you.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later. Bye, dude.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. There's Patton Oswalt. Bye. See? We can play nice with people.
Yep. Yes, he is. Yeah, and it's sold out. I mean, I if it wasn't sold out, I would say run out there. And I mean, it is so. His stand-up, I saw him two shows in a row when he was at the Improv.
Join me and the AIDS virus as we try to wipe out Michael Hughes. Would that be how it's used?
Yes, exactly.
Try to find a cure.
As we try to find a cure for Michael Hughes.
For Michael Hughes. Right. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, there it was. You know, I just threw it out there. Andy Dick exposing himself, and there, you know, he did it backstage.
Right. Of course he did.
That seems to be his MO.
Of course he did.
Or his HMO. Or his HOMO.
Or his HIV.
Mm-hmm. HIV.
Join me and the AIDS virus as we try to find a cure for.
Joe Arden.
Hey, Joe.
Norman!
Just some instant feedback here. How do you think the show's going today?
It's awesome.
Thanks.
It's going fast and furious.
You know, Joe, I didn't give you credit that the reason I asked Patton about Gumby was because of your discussion out in Cancer Corner a little earlier.
That's right.
You had some theories about Gumby.
Yes, that everybody that produced Gumby was on LSD 25.
As opposed to LSD 24.
Right. Yeah, LSD 25 is a little better.
LSD 25.
I was like checking in halfway through with Joe through the show just to make sure we're doing okay.
Very important to do on a Friday.
This is a fantastic Friday show.
Very, very important.
Thank you. Bye, LSD 25.
Sure.
Bye bye.
Gumby was produced by people on LSD 25.
Ask Word by name.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We had the tape yesterday, the poor quality tape of President Bush dropping the S-bomb with Blair over there at the Great Summit. Mm-hmm. Now I think he's going to, we're going to get some comment. Is he back? Is he back in D.C.? Is he, any idea where the hell is he?
L5.
We'll find out in just a moment. Hello, come in.
Come in, yes. Prez.
Four.
Prez.
Oh.
Hit.
Yeah. God, girl. You sank my battleship.
Oh, hello? Man.
Hello. What?
Hello. Prez.
Oh, is this Donnie?
Prez, where?
See, I got you, you penciled in. I have you penciled in here. Don Geronimo, interview at...
Can we...
Well, son, you were supposed to call me 10
up?
Minutes ago.
We're gonna,
hey,
can
clean,
we clean
that
this
up for him. What is that ass? How are you, son? Good to see you. Man, I'm so tired. I am so sick of dealing with world leaders and all their and foreign countries and everything they want me to do. I'm ready to kick back and talk a little down-home style with you. How you doing, Donnie Don?
Exactly.
We're out there with Tony B and Pootie Poot and all them people. Sorry we didn't get a chance to... put something together with Pootie Poop, but, you know, he's got, you know, I have always believed he is the enemy.
Where are you exactly? Are you still?
I don't know. Hell, I'm on bus or something or plane. I don't know. I've given up a long time ago actually thinking about where my whereabouts should be whereabouts. You know what I mean? What I like to do is just really relax wherever I am. And I was just playing a simple game that is probably the best board game, most underrated board game that's ever been. Battleship.
You play with Carl Rove?
I play with Carl. I play with anybody who'll come by. I used to play with that Scooter Libby. Used to enjoy his company, too. I'm a great battleship. I have almost a sixth sense of battleship. I'm skilled at that.
Tell you something. I watched the video of you dropping the S-bomb.
Hey, you know what? I just found out where I was, Don.
Where are you?
Where is it?
Where are you, sir?
My aides have told me that this is George Jones's tour bus. And somehow, I am magnificently on this thing right now. Very excited to be on it now, but so glad to be away from world leaders. I'm so sick of the yakety-yak-yak, always talking about that. And then, and I come, you know, I go to this G8 thing, and then what the hell, what in the Sam Hill's going on in the world?
First
everybody's blowing everybody else up. Looks like some sort of war.
Yeah.
First off, man, can you butter a roll?
I love my rolls. And you can't have a roll without a big pat of butter. And, you know, I hate that frozen butter they give you at certain restaurants. Yep. I'll tell you, one time we had this White House chef.
Nice look around cafe.
I said, fire his ass. Fire his ass, son. It gives me the hard butter that I can't spread on my rolls. The best kind. You ever been in restaurants where they give you the tub and it's soft and it just spreads and it's real butter now, not that margarine.
Right.
I don't care for that margarine stuff. I like the butter to just glide across the roll. Mm. And if it's a little medium consistency, I slather it on there just like I'm sharpening an old straight razor.
So you just said to Blair, Tony Blair, while you were buttering your roll, you said... I just wish that, I don't know, remember which side it was
you said. I was sure you'd tell Hezbollah to, you know, to tell him to knock that ass off.
Right.
That's what I saw. So I was doing plain speaking.
Okay,
you know, my poll number's going to go up. You watch this, son. Yeah. Americans, I have this on good authority. Americans enjoy it when I speak plainly. Mm-hmm. I'm confident it's going to work out, you know, because things have been really right down to crapper, you know. But
explain the whole Middle East thing to me.
Don't make me do that,
Donnie. Explain to me who's fighting
Donnie,
and
who
why.
You talking to? Come on now. Don't make me talk about what's going on. These people have been killing each other for years.
Now, do you know the countries involved?
Oh, boy.
Off the top of your head.
All right.
One of them starts with an I.
You can do this.
Ireland.
No.
Damn it. Oh, you're killing me. No, I know it's not Ireland. Ireland's in Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe. Eastern. West. East. Ireland's in Scandinavia. Iceland.
No, not Iceland.
Iceland. All right. Yeah, can I tell you something that frustrates me?
What's that?
I go over to this world summit, right, where they got all the leaders.
Istanbul.
Not a goddamn person speaking English over there.
Right.
It's driving me nuts.
Istanbul. No, that's not either.
Istanbul. Half country's full of bull.
India. No, it's not India.
I'm out. Come on. I mean, I want to go back and play my battleship.
Israel.
Yeah, I'm not that stupid. You don't have to spell it out that much, you know? I tell you, my next State of the Union will sound like a Richard Pryor LP. I'm really looking forward to using. You know, they've said, Mr. President, Carl said to me last week, he said, you talk plainly. When you talk plainly. Did I say that right?
I don't know.
Speak. No S on the end. When you speak plainly, people relate to you. They get your inner soul. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of maybe peppering some of my dialogue with the press.
I think that's your phone.
Is that your phone? Hold on. Where is it?
Right over here. Hello. What didn't Carl? It's a game. It's a board game. It's totally innocent. It does not make me look stupid that I play Battleship. Well, F you.
Oh, dear.
Well, now, who are you talking that way to?
I don't understand that. I'm the president. I'll play whatever game. He doesn't care. He's not going to make fun of me.
I couldn't be his mother.
Bye. No. That's Carl. said, I shouldn't tell you that I play Battleship. And I'm like, I thought you'd relate to it because you do this kind of pop culture show for all the young people.
Right. I think if you're a real man, you should drop the F-bomb right now.
Carl asked me not to talk about board games to avoid the C-word also. Yeah, so he warned me with all that stuff.
And I tell you what.
You know, it frustrates me that I go to you would think that these people that show up for this giant meeting that we're all supposed to fix them world problems that we all got to deal with, that at least they'd have the decency to speak English.
I've got a
button.
I don't
get it.
I've got a button right here.
Yeah.
Want to say the F word?
Sure.
Just go ahead, say the F word.
Man.
Oh!
Hey!
I had to delete that out.
Well,
what
I just, I was talking about how bored I was.
You cannot use that language.
Oh, man, I just bored. I was just a bored kid over there,
you
man.
Cannot.
I didn't
get
a kid.
I'm not surprised.
Hello? Oh, did you get it? Well, that's fine. Well, isn't that just fine? Well, I appreciate your donation.
It's a loud ringer.
Well, that's good. You're one of the... Yes,
sure.
You're
very
nice.
Loud ringer on his phone.
I appreciate that, too.
He dropped the F-bomb a second
you
ago.
Are, no. You are fantastic. Thank you so much.
Gosh, and I hope our new delay system works.
I think it did, yeah.
And you know that anything... Hold on a second.
Who are you talking to? Who are you on the phone with,
get
George?
Get that microphone out of my face.
Who are you on the phone with, sir?
I am having a private conversation, Don.
It's off.
Hold on a second.
Okay, all right.
Yes, and anything I can do for you, he is a great American.
Who the hell is he talking to, Buzz?
I don't know. Somebody with a contribution.
I thought it'd be his mom.
No. Somebody with money.
Please don't.
I mean, his mom has money, but.
I'm very sorry.
Somebody else.
I wonder if he has a call waiting ring.
Hold on, I got another call coming in.
He is the president.
Hold on, Mrs. Lay.
Oh,
hold on.
The widow Lay.
Hello, Mama.
He's talking to Ken Lay's wife.
Mama, why are you crying? You are not fat and ugly.
Oh, dear.
You are not. You're pretty little. You're pretty as a pie.
It's always something.
I know pies aren't pretty, Mom. I'm just trying to cheer you up. Hold on. I got Mrs. Lay on the other line. Hold on a second. That's not the sound it makes. Hello, Mrs. Lay. I got my mama on the phone. And she's very sad because she's feeling old and fat and ugly. May I get off the phone with you? Thank you, Mrs. Lay. And sorry about your husband.
Yes.
I'm deeply sad. All right, hold on. Now, Mama, what's the fussing all about?
Line two.
You're feeling old. You're feeling old and fat. You're feeling old and fat and ugly. Mommy, nothing could be further from the truth.
Hey, President Bush, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got Mama on the line here. I got to get off the line pretty quick.
Tell your mom.
Yeah.
I think she's a cougar.
All right, hold on a second. Hey, Mama, this might cheer you up. Okay, Don, I'm on the phone with that dish jockey you hate so bad. Yeah, he says, you know, he thinks you shouldn't feel fat and ugly, Mama, because you are a cougar.
Yeah.
Whoa, no, don't yell at me like that. What is it? Hold on a second.
Does that mean something bad?
What does that mean? What?
It means I'd like
Mama
to...
Mama says it's an old woman likes to... Do it with young guys. Is that what that's all about?
Well, I'm not old, really.
Well, that's not going to cheer her. Hold on. Let me put this fire out.
I'll make love to your mom.
Mama, listen. Don't yell, please. I'm having fun with him. He's fine. He's doing what he does. You keep those chins up.
Oh, no.
All right. I'll send you a new string of pearls.
Hey, hold on.
He wants to tell you something else, Mama.
Tell your mom I'll give her a pearl necklace.
John says he will give you a pearl necklace. She said that would be fine. That'd be wonderful.
Tell her I'll give her two pearl necklaces.
Mama, he says he'll give you two pearl necklaces. Mm-hmm. Well, she says that's just about as fine a thing she's heard all day long.
Sure is.
But she's in a good mood now.
Well, there you go.
All right, Mama, I gotta go. Bye.
Tell her off.
She's gone now.
Gone.
Man, you...
Fire's out.
Uh-oh.
God damn.
It's not easy being him.
Hello? Yes? Of course, you know the address. You had to get through that line. Don't fool me like that. Right.
Who's that
just
now?
Plain cheese. Plain cheese.
Oh,
yep.
Pizza.
No,
pizza
not coming. That thin crust crap. No. The real one. An American pizza. Bye.
That was a pizza guy. He calls me. I like to get my hands wet, so to speak. You know what I mean? Isn't that, or is it dirty?
Dirty.
Is it dirty or wet?
Word.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just like dealing with the common man, and I actually, when I get my pizzas delivered, they actually come into the Oval Office.
Hey,
you know,
sir?
That? Something you might not know about, Jeff.
Can I explain this something to you?
Yeah.
I know that you realize you don't know who's fighting Israel in the war.
I think I do. I think I might surprise you. The people with the...
You don't know what a pearl necklace is.
Afghanistan, bingo. You are out of luck. There I go.
Do you know what a pearl necklace is?
Pearl necklace is what Mama wears when she goes to, like, social functions.
No. Have you ever seen a porno?
I can't admit that off your show.
Okay, hold on.
Have I ever seen a porno? You mean one of them movies? A skin flick?
Let's go to closed circuit real quick. It's just the president and I on a secure channel.
Very good.
Are we secure?
Yeah, you're clear.
Okay, good. Hey, Prez.
Yeah, I'm here.
What you do? I know you've seen this.
Yeah.
At the end of a porno.
Yeah.
When a guy is going.
Oh, yeah, you mean there?
Well, that's what a pearl.
That's the one I like.
That's what a pearl necklace is.
Oh, she's not. She ain't gonna like that. She'll find out.
I don't see how the money.
Hello.
Whoa! Off.
Somebody's yelling. Somebody ain't happy. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, hello, Mama. Mama, no need to yell at me. Okay. Man, I don't sound like you.
All right, no, Rob, what are you doing? Rob, hello. You're killing me on this.
Oh, I pointed at him. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
All right. I gotta go. You have made Mama upset because you've compared her to Jenna Jameson and other porn stars. You're making me angry.
Wow.
I must terminate this conversation and resume my heated game of Battleship.
Has been outstanding as always talking to you from wherever you are.
In closing, might I say, I certainly hope the world leaders fix stuff. Thank you, and God bless America. All right.
That was your phone.
Yeah, get the pizza up here right away. God damn it. S. More rolls.
Oh, there we go. We lose him?
He's gone. I think so.
That's it. He's gone. Okay, well.
Leader of the free world.
There's President Bush.
Right.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize that you were working with Monkey Boy there.
Oh, you know, we just try to
with
improvise.
Kong.
That's all. We always try to improvise.
I thought you were a one-man band.
No. I'll take help wherever I can get it. No problem at all.
Because, Rob, that was very similar to
And in
your...
the role of Barbara Bush, Mr. Yeah. Rob Spiewak.
Right. That was very much like your... like when you do translation.
When they roll the credits, that will be Rob in the role of the irate Barbara Bush.
That's right.
Only when the pearl necklace was explained.
Hello?
No, this is not the president. But thank you for calling.
Who was that, Mike?
Buzz?
I don't know.
Coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.